Soundsington Media.
Hello?
Hello, Brian.
Meredith, why is it dark in here?
I'm practicing.
Wait, what? Practicing?
I'm practicing for the upcoming eclipse.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
Yep, it's coming up quickly, and I want to be ready.
Well, it's a good thing that...
You're about to do the show intro, aren't you?
Yep, I'm Brian Holden.
And I'm Meredith Stepien, and this is Reach, a space podcast for kids.
It sure has been a while since we've been in the Reach recording booth.
It has, but with the upcoming total solar eclipse on Monday, April 8th, we just had to get a jump on our upcoming new season of the show.
Totally. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of questions. What exactly is an eclipse? Who will be able to see it? How can they safely view the eclipse?
Well, Brian, that's why we've brought in an expert.
My name is Dr. Marin Anderson. I'm a research scientist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory here in Pasadena. And I'm an astrophysicist and a radio astronomer by trade. And that just means that I study the universe at radio wavelengths.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Anderson, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Reach.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. So excited to talk to you all about the upcoming solar eclipse.
So let's start out with the big question on everyone's mind this week. What is an eclipse?
Yeah, so an eclipse is really just a general term in astronomy for when one astrophysical body passes into the shadow of another astrophysical body. So eclipses are happening all the time in our own solar system, elsewhere in the universe. Astronomers study a particular kind of eclipse, and that's when an exoplanet, so a planet not in our solar system, but in another stellar system orbiting another star, passes in front of its star. And astronomers use that kind of eclipse to infer the presence of those exoplanets and learn things about their atmospheres and stuff like that. But the types of eclipses that most of us Earthlings are most concerned about are lunar eclipses, when the moon passes into the shadow of the Earth, and solar eclipses, when the Earth passes into the shadow of the moon.
So cool. And we understand that there are different types of solar eclipses. So can you explain the differences?
Yeah, that's right. So there are three main types of solar eclipses. One type is a partial solar eclipse, and that's just when the moon's passing between the Earth and the sun, but it's not completely covering the sun. So you get only a partial covering of the sun, and you get a partial solar eclipse. So you still see some sunlight, and if you were to look at the sun, of course, with your eclipse glasses, because you never want to look directly at the sun, you would see a crescent sun. And that's just because the moon's kind of taking a bite out of the sun. A second type of solar eclipse is an annular eclipse. And that's when the moon is not completely covering the sun. And that's due to a fun fact to do with the orbit of the moon. So the moon's not in a perfectly circular orbit around the Earth. It's actually a little bit squished. It's a little bit of an ellipse. And what that means is sometimes the moon's a little bit closer to the Earth, and sometimes it's a little bit further away. And so when it's a little bit further away, it appears slightly smaller in size in the sky. And what that means is it's not completely covering the sun. So during an annular eclipse, what you will see, if you're in the path of annularity, is you'll see what we call a ring of fire. So you'll see almost like the moon is covering most of the center of the sun, and you get just this really bright ring, that ring of fire, during an annular eclipse.
And what type of eclipse will we be seeing on April 8th?
Yes, so the April 8th eclipse is the best kind of eclipse, in my unbiased opinion, and that's a total solar eclipse. So during a total solar eclipse, the moon completely blocks all of the sun, and you're able to see the outer atmosphere of the sun, which is called the corona. And it's this outer atmosphere made up of a plasma, or really high temperature particles, that are millions of degrees hotter than the actual surface of the sun, that you can only see when the actual surface of the sun's being covered up by the moon. So you can only see it during a total solar eclipse.
Awesome.
And total solar eclipses are what I like to call this magical cosmic coincidence, because it just so happens that the moon is 400 times smaller in size, about 400 times smaller in size than the sun, but the sun's 400 times further away, and that basic geometric fact means that We just so happen to get to experience total solar eclipses. The moon is just almost exactly the same size as the sun in our sky. And that means we get to experience total solar eclipses.
That's incredible. So on April 8th, who will actually be able to see this eclipse? And how can they safely view it?
Yeah, great questions. So this particular total solar eclipse is really exciting because the path of totality is going through Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. And more than 50% of the U.S. population lives within about 250 miles from the path of totality. So it's really accessible to a huge fraction of the population. And if you're within the path of totality, or maybe just a little bit outside of the path of totality, I highly recommend that you go into the path of totality and view the eclipse. Because that last few percent of brightness in the sun makes a huge difference. So let's say you're just outside the path of totality and you look up your location and you see that 99% of the sun will be covered during the eclipse. And you might think, oh, that's pretty good. That's good enough. What you will see will be cool. You will get a partial solar eclipse. But that last 1% of the sun that you'll see means it will be 1,000 times brighter from that location than if you were in the path of totality. It means you won't see that corona, you won't see that outer atmosphere of the sun, and you won't get all of the cool effects associated with being in the path of totality. So you won't get a completely dark sky, you won't see the stars come out, you won't experience all of the animals and insects around you going through changes associated with them thinking it's nighttime suddenly. So I really encourage, if you're able to get into the path of totality, that you do so. And on the safety aspects, of course, we always want to mention this. It's never safe to look directly at the sun. So if you're only viewing a partial solar eclipse, you always want to look at the sun with your specialty eclipse glasses. And these are really easy to get online. You just want to make sure that that they're certified and that there's no scratches or holes in the lens, because you can do permanent damage to your eyes if you look directly at the sun. If you're in the path of totality, same thing's true. You never want to look directly at the sun. You always want to use your eclipse glasses. The one exception to that is during those minutes of totality, when the moon is fully blocking the sun and that beautiful corona comes out, then I want you to take your eclipse glasses off, because you won't get to see all of those beautiful things with your eclipse glasses on.
This is all terrific advice for our listeners. We really can't thank you enough for your time with us today, and we hope you and everyone listening have clear skies next Monday.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, we definitely have a lot to look forward to next Monday.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal, as the next total solar eclipse that can be seen from the contiguous United States won't be until August 23rd, 2044.
Oh my gosh, I'll be 29 that year. It's a good thing we don't have to wait that long for the next season of Reach.
That's right. We're hard at work on our next season, launching later this spring.
In the meantime, we will be posting more resources for viewing next Monday's eclipse in our show notes, including NASA's Watch Live website, where you can track the eclipse and get an excellent view if you're not lucky enough to be in the path of totality.
We'll also be posting viewing tips and resources every day leading up to the eclipse on Reach's social media channels, at Reach the Podcast.
If you're not already, give us a follow on Instagram, X, and we're even on TikTok now.
That's it for this episode of Reach, a space podcast for kids. We're your hosts, Meredith Stepien
and Brian Holden. This episode of Reach was written, produced, and edited by Nate DeFort, a solar system ambassador for NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Our theme song and additional music was composed by Jesse Case.
And our logo was created by Stephen Lyons.
A very special thanks this week to Dr. Marin M. Anderson, research scientist, NASA JPL.
We'd also like to offer a special thanks to Reach co-creator and public engagement specialist at NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Sandy Marshall. Hi, Sandy.
Got a question about space? Let us know. Get your parents' permission and give us a call at 312-248-3402. Then leave us a message with your first name, where you're from, and a question for a chance to be featured in an upcoming episode.
We can also accept your questions via email. Just send us your first name, where you're from, and what question you'd like answered to reachthepodcast@gmail.com.
If you're enjoying Reach, be sure to tell your friends and leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice, or share an episode on social media.
And if you'd like to find us online, visit @ReachThePodcast on X and on Instagram, on our website at www.reachthepodcast.com, and now on TikTok at @ReachThePodcast.
Reach is a production of Soundsington Media, committed to making quality programming for young audiences and the young at heart. For more information on our shows and the people behind them, go to SoundsingtonMedia.com.
Have you ever wondered who the Mary was from Bloody Mary? If the Loch Ness Monster was real, or if Ouija boards actually worked? On each episode of the family-friendly Unspookable, we look at the histories and mysteries behind your favorite scary stories, myths, and urban legends to get the real stories behind the scares. Want to solve your next mystery? Find and follow Unspookable now, wherever you get your podcasts.